Praise the Lord. And please have a seat. Well, good morning. I think we should start off there. And on behalf of Pastor J.D. Farag, we want to welcome you to Calvary Kaneohe. All of you here, visitors that have come today, we thank you and pray that you're blessed by the fellowship and love that you will receive here. And for those joining us online, we welcome you as well. And I do want to remind everyone about our next prayer meeting. It will be held on the 4th of June here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. So if you're able to come, please do and join us in some corporate prayer as we pray on one accord. We have a lot of things to pray on one accord about, and it's no better place than to do so in the house of the true and living God. So if you're able to come out, please do so and join us. Now, before we get into our teaching this morning, I do want to take just a moment to address all of the mothers, as well as those who aspire to be mothers. First of all, you don't have to be a mom to come to the understanding of what a mother goes through. In fact, it's many of us that put those mothers through everything. Am I lying? And on many occasions, being a mother is a thankless call. And a single day out of the year will never do any justice for what a mother often goes through. And despite what they go through, they are able to care and love in a way that defies logic. And we should all recognize that motherhood is not getting any easier. In fact, it has gotten a lot worse. Mothers have to fight against nearly every element of society in order to protect their young. And so this makes the roles of grandmothers, mother-in-laws, aunties, and big sister just as motherly important as well. Women have instincts that man can never duplicate. No matter how society tries to blur the lines, it won't happen. And that's the fact of the matter, because that's God's design. Motherhood often begins very early for those would-be mothers, as they learn from all of the mothers that have gone before them. Mothers are a treasure, and mothers make the home. And a man is nothing without the woman. A man may be the head of the household, but it is the woman that builds the house. So, for today, and shall I say every day, we want to wish each and every mother a happy Mother's Day. And before we give them a round of applause, let's pray for our mothers. Father in heaven, thank you for our mothers. They are a gift, and we truly need them, especially now in the times that we are living in. So we ask that you would send a special blessing upon all the mothers and those who aspire to be, who would dare take up that call and raise the children in the ways of the Lord, as only they can in many ways. So Lord, bless them abundantly, strengthen them, and may they be lifted up on this day and every day to follow. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, we do pray. Amen. Praise the mother. On Sundays, we have two services. The first service is normally dedicated to the prophecy update, and the second service, the sermon. For our first service today, I would ask that you join me in the book of Luke, chapter 11, two verses, verses 27 and 28. And for all who are able to stand, I would ask that you do so for the reading of these two verses this morning, followed by a word of prayer. Again, we're in the book of Luke, chapter 11, beginning at verse 27. The word of God reads, "And it happened, as he spoke these things," speaking of Jesus, "that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts which nursed you.' But he said, 'More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Why don't we pray and ask the Lord for his blessing on his teaching this morning. Father in heaven, thank you once again, Lord. And we ask that you would indeed meet us here for the teaching of your word. We need you by the power of the Holy Spirit to teach us and show us the lessons that you have for us to take to heart so that we may keep your word. So would you go before us in the power and strength of your might, settle our hearts and minds, and open our ears and hearts to receive your word of truth. We love you and thank you for what you are about to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen. All right, thank you, and please be seated. This morning, the title of our teaching is Keeping God's Word. And we're going to use the two verses that we have and expound on them, and then take more of a topical approach as it pertains to keeping the Word of God. Now, most, if not all of us, talk about keeping the Word of God. And I would even say that we understand what that means and looks like. But I think that we make too many assumptions when it comes to this in its totality. Because there is only one way to keep the Word of God. And that is first by knowing the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we do not know the Word of God, there is little to no chance that we are keeping the Word of God. Wouldn't you agree? And this is a forever learning process, something that we will never fully graduate from. So as we learn the Word of God, we are to keep the Word of God, and then we are to keep learning the Word of God in order to keep more of the Word of God. Do we see how this works? The bottom line is this: the more of the Word that we keep, the more that we will grow. And from doing this, the more that we will be blessed. Are we together so far? So, with the Lord's permission, we are going to look at the verses that we just read, put them in their context based on the scriptures, and then demonstrate from the Word why keeping the Word of God must be our top priority over everything. Everything. And with that, verses 27 and 28 of our text. The Word of God once again reads. Listen how it starts off, almost like a dramatic movie. And it happened, da-dun, right? And it happened. As he spoke these things, speaking about Jesus again, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But he said, this is Jesus, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Now, first of all, we should give this woman credit where credit is due. And to see this in that way, first we need to know what things was Jesus speaking about. And so when we look back in the scriptures, we see that Jesus was speaking about things that the scribes and Pharisees could not stand. Are you following? It's safe to say they did not like Jesus. But this woman, in a way, would be applauding the truth. I mean, at least she would recognize it and agree with it. And we have to think about this just a little bit. These religious leaders, they were oppressing the people with religion. And then Jesus comes and puts them all to an open shame with the truth. So she cries out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." In effect, she said, "Bless your mother." I mean, you dig what I'm saying, right? Now, some look at her as what she did as wrong. But this is not how Jesus responds to it. Jesus did not say, nay, woman, sit down. He didn't say that. What he did, though, he redirected her attention. Do we see this? And if she had no problem listening to him before, then she should not have had a problem listening to him now. And as far as this woman blessing his mother Mary, I mean, Mary herself said that this is exactly what would happen shortly after she found out and was told that she was pregnant with the Savior. Do you recall the Song of Mary? Also captured here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 48, as the Word of God reads. "For he," speaking of God, "has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Again, this woman who expressed a blessing towards Mary was not necessarily in the wrong. There was just a message that was far more important for her and the people to understand. Are we together? In fact, she could have been used as the attention getter for the greater message. And prayerfully, she got the message. And the greater message was and still is that hearing the word of God is one thing, but the blessing comes by keeping the word. And there's several things that we can learn from her actions, as well as the response by Jesus. And we need to put ourselves on both sides of this. And prayerfully, we'll see that. Because what we have here is kind of an innocent matter. Do you see it like that? But it still needs to be addressed. And let's first take notice that Jesus never lost focus on what he was called to do. Despite what I call addressing this loving, unintended distraction. This is something that most, if not all of us, have done and or will find ourselves on one side or the other. It's just a matter of time. And I pray that what we are about to see will shed some light on all of this. And hear me, please understand that we are dealing primarily with a deliberate engagement with the Word of God. This is the context. And this is not meant for us to walk around on eggshells or become overcritical about everything someone says. But when it comes to the Word of God, we have to be aware and sensitive to those distractions. We're good so far, family? I'm making sure because I've been told I speak very fast. It's the curse of the East Coast. So I'm trying to keep it slow. Now, we do need to understand what unintended distractions can cause that can keep each of us from keeping the Word of God. And no matter the intent, when we lose focus regarding the things of God, we most often will lose focus on keeping His Word. And I want to be very careful here because, like the woman cried out, what she said to Jesus, her intent was noble. But left there, the most important aspect of it all would have been missed. And we're going to spend some time on this in a minute. But we can have a good idea when we fall into this realm, when what we are saying takes attention away from God. Do you hear me? And these situations can be very delicate and just as short in nature as what we see in our text, depending on what's going on at the time. But when the Word of God is being spoken, God gets the final word, not us. And if we're one of the ones that have become this distraction, and we're corrected in love with the Word of God, we should be good with it and thankful for it. Again, no matter how good the intentions are, we all become distractions when we take the focus away from the things of God. Also, when we distract in this nature, it causes us to wrongly begin to reprioritize, which is a byproduct of losing focus in the first place. If we were to go back to the scene with this woman, let's remember that she heard the word and appeared to be attentive to the word. It would seem that she received the word with gladness from the Word Himself. But instead of blessing the Lord as well, her blessing seemed to stop short of blessing God. Do we see this? Whose own mother, by the way, Mary, called him Savior. And we can all fall into this boat. And we often do, because we bless many people regarding spiritual matters. And we forget that it is God who has empowered them and us. We should be praising God and blessing God for our pastors, leaders, and the like. God gets the glory. We cannot miss and reassign our priorities because of what the flesh has done in the name of God. We are all individually responsible for keeping God's word. And that means that we must keep God first. And this final point we already mentioned, but we're going to spend some time on this, like I said. And that's missing the greater message. So these unintended distractions may not be meant to get us off track, but they can easily become that. And if you want to know how they can become a distraction for us to derail us, let's just say that Jesus never addressed the greater meeting by telling them to keep the word of God. What if he just said nothing? Then the focus could have easily been diverted to Mary. Do we see this? Are you following me? And what's crazy is this would end up happening anyway without the help of Jesus. Think about Roman Catholicism. The focus is on Mary and not Jesus. So if that's the case, then how serious should we take this when dealing with the Word of God? Because if it has not been dealt with in a way that removes all ambiguity, then the greater message will be missed, and worse. And this happens more often than we think, and we need to deal with it head on. Now, hear me out, because this is why it is very important that these well-intended home Bible studies and other group studies that are happening, that they are led by seasoned and grounded people of God who are willing and able to quickly address these unattended distractions and keep God's word. Are you hearing me? And if we have these groups and we fail to address these seemingly harmless distractions, then we often become liabilities. And the damage control could be endless. They must be dealt with from the beginning. Because by the time they creep into the church, we as the leadership may not have that opportunity to be so gracious, which creates more problems, because all you see is the end result. Let me ask you a question. How do you deal with someone who has a gun to your loved one? Do you tell them, please stop, or do you lay them down? Do we get the point? I hope we do. Because when it gets that bad and they walk through the doors of this God's church, it's lay them down. And that creates contention because you don't know the backstory. And half the time, many of you are the reason why it got there. So please, address them based on the word of God, in love, not on how we feel, exactly how the word of God speaks to it. And we all know the passage as well, but we shall read them anyway, at least two. Captured in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, the word of God reads, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof," look at this, "for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Let's go back, for correction. You can correct people. Did you realize that? You have permission from God to correct before they have to be reproofed at the front gate. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is what we need to be doing. And this is just one aspect of keeping God's word. And please take notice of the first two words captured in verse 16. All scripture. I'll give you a minute. All scripture, kept in the proper context, spiritual, compared with spiritual, never contradicting, wisely discerned, the entire counsel of God's word. Hear me, beware. If you become fixated on one aspect of God's word, let me say that in a different way. Beware. If you become fixated on one aspect of God's word, and this is especially important for our new believers in Christ. Think about it. Like that woman was so excited, right? As a new believer, you hear the truth like you never heard it before. And you're excited. And you want more of it. And then we begin to read the Bible for ourselves, and that's a good thing. And then we begin to listen to some other teachers. That could be a good thing. And then we hear a passage of scripture or read a passage of scripture, and like the beginning of a text, and then it happens. We see this word or passage and become fixated. Fixated. Just like that, fixated. Can't keep your eyes off of it. Like, we have just found something that no one else knows about. I gotta be honest, I did it myself. Right? I was like, oh, no one knows this, right? Come on, please. Oh my goodness. Did I get chewed up? And rightfully so, and thank God for that. So, in this circumstance, what should we do? What should we do? Well, the word of God tells us throughout the scriptures what to do. With one example captured here in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 19, verses 20 and 21, the word of God reads, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. We should be seeking counsel. Let me go back. We should be seeking wise counsel. That's what we should do. The Bible says that in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And the word of God is true. But instead of seeking wise counsel, as the word of God says, we seek out the internet, YouTube, and just watch more videos. That's where we're at. And whatever we are fixated on, trust me, you can find it on the internet as a doctrine. You want to find the gummy bear religion? Look on the internet. It's there for you. But we should seek wise counsel. Because in the end, absent this wise counsel, and keeping with the entire counsel of God's word, they are all doctrines of demons. Realize that cults are often founded on one aspect of the Word of God. Can you say Jehovah Witnesses? Jehovah, that's the only name. That's the only name of God. That's it. I found it. And off you go, cult. Cults also come by way of people having private interpretations. Can you say the Mormons? The scriptures speak otherwise. And we should all know that the Lord knows when we know where wise counsel resides, but we choose the agreeable counsel of fools. We have all done this and still do from time to time. I mean, think of it from the child parent aspect, right? I have this decision that I'm about to make, and I'm not going to my dad or mother. Because why? I know exactly what they're going to say. They're going to tell me this, that, and the third. And it all goes against what I want to do. So I'm going to go somewhere else and talk to my wise fools, so we can be in agreement. Here you are, you want to buy that Mustang, and your uncle is a 40-year financial advisor, right? And you're like, I'm not going to my uncle. He's going to want to see my income and, you know, my debt ratio and this, that, and so forth and all of that. Nah, man. You know what I'll do, though? I'll call my cousin. Hey, cuz, you got a minute? Oh, I'm taking my 10th grade math exam. Oh, okay, I'll call you back. That must be a sign from God. God told me to get the Mustang. Do you see? I mean, this is an indictment. Because we have a feeling and we know what's right, but we would rather have agreement with what's wrong. Now, do we really think that this will be blessed? It might seem blessed at the beginning, the initial phase, once you're riding off of that Mustang. When them bills come in, Snicker bar gas, the end will not be blessed because it is not in alignment with keeping God's word. In fact, we should also know this. This is sinful behavior. Do we understand? Well, allow the word of God to speak. Captured in the book of James in chapter 4 and verse 17. The word of God reads, "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." We will never be able to fool God. All of our intentions are made known to the Lord. So we would all do well to bring it all to him in prayer. He already knows. And the blessing comes by keeping his word. And now I want to go into an area to see what we must all do in order to develop the ability to keep the word of God. And we catch a glimpse of this with the woman that we read about in our text. But the fullness of it is by paying complete attention to God. This has to be a deliberate act. And nothing should get in the way of this. This is a most fundamental life lesson. And it's clear that we can see this in many aspects of our lives. I mean, wouldn't you agree that we keep what we pay attention to, right? We hear the expression often that it's not what's taught, but it's what's caught. You heard that before? Well, I mean, if I can, let me put it in a sports perspective, baseball. So, I mean, you can be taught how to catch like a major league baseball player all day long. But if you take your eyes off the ball, you're not going to catch it. Doesn't work that way. So the ball players have to pay attention in order for the skill to make sense. If we are not coming before God, especially at church, with an attentive ear and on a mission to hear and heed the word of truth, then it's most likely we will not keep the word of God. This is all just a formality. In fact, it's a tragedy. Because the commands of God are not burdensome. And they are all for our good. The reason why many people think it's a burden, because they don't know God. That's why. And don't you find it very interesting that we want God to pay attention to our prayers, but we often choose not to pay attention to his word. Oh, we want him to hear what we have to say. But the question is, have we heard what he said? The blessings come by keeping his word. And as it pertains to giving God our attention, we can see this captured in the book of Proverbs here, chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, as the word of God reads, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Give attention to the word of God. And notice that God uses the ear in verse 20 and the eyes in verse 21. For he is the maker of them both. And for all of us who have both, we should be learning by both. And the blessings here, for those who choose to keep the word of the Lord, look at them, are life and health. Life and health. But it all starts with giving the word of God our attention. Passively listening to the word of God will not by itself provide that much needed activation that the heart requires in order to keep his word. This is why we must actively listen. The question is, do we? And one of the ways that we can have a sure answer for this is by simply looking at our lives and measure our own growth in the Lord. Now, sometimes this is difficult to do, but others can see it. But don't forget, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. And this is one of the reasons why. Because if I'm actively listening to the word of God, then I would be growing in the Lord. Because I would be taking heed to his word and keep his word. And we are given a warning by the writer of Hebrews of what happens when we don't. Captured in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2 and verse 1, the word of God reads, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." In our opening text, this woman was most likely hearing all that Jesus was presenting for the first time. But how many times have we heard it? This is why we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Because if not, we will drift away. And sometimes that drifting away comes because we're tossed to and fro and carried about or drifted away by every wind of doctrine and deceitful schemes. No word in, no word out of God, and then we get all this other garbage in and we drift. Seems very interesting. Until you're shipwrecked. Why? Because we fail to anchor ourselves and keep the word of God. Another key component to have that aids in keeping God's word is that we have to have the boldness of humility. Absent humility before the Lord, we will not hear anything from the Lord. True humility before the Lord is recognizing our own worthlessness. And this is not some condemning worthlessness. This is a coming to the end of ourselves in every respect, knowing that we are no better than anyone else. No matter where God may be using us at, we are all in need of Jesus every second of the day. For me, I don't see how, and maybe most of you, cannot wake up in the morning and just fall flat on our faces. This is how our hearts should be postured before the Lord, especially when we come to hear His word. We should be emptied out of ourselves before we sit down and let His gracious word fill us up. The word of God tells us that we are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift us up. I suppose we can also say that if we empty ourselves in the sight of the Lord, then He will fill us up. We are also told the following in the book of Psalms in chapter 25, verses 8 through 10, as the word of God reads, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He teaches sinners in the way. The humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." I hope that we see all of this. Our upright God teaches humble sinners His way. Think about that. Because we must humble ourselves in order to recognize that we are sinners in the first place. And it's that constant humility that keeps us teachable. There is no know-it-all before the Lord. And if we are not teachable, then keeping God's word will not be a priority. Because hearing it and heeding it would have ceased to happen. At that point, it would seem that we have grown past the point of learning and have reached the destination of the learned. I know, yes. So on the island of the learned, the capital city is pride. That's what it boils down to. It's the root of it all. And we all must guard our hearts against it. Because if we are able to humble ourselves, do we see the blessings that are attached to being humble before the Lord? Look at them. A pathway of mercy and truth. We are led down the pathway of mercy and truth. How could we not want this to be constant in our lives if we would not only hear the word, but keep the word? Again, we just need to remain humble so the Lord can teach us and keep us. Bold humility. That's what we all need. And last but not least, in order for us to keep God's word, we all must have a heart for the things of God. When I think back about the woman in the crowd, again, she was excited. It would seem she was very excited about the things that she was being taught. And I could only imagine her body language. You know how you're excited about something? You're like, you know, check what she did. She just had to say something. That excitement. When the truth is being presented. Because what's in the heart of a man will come out of the mouth. At some point, it's going to be expressed in some way, consistently, that you know their character. But there's something else as it pertains to having a heart for the Lord that we all must take to heart, pun intended. And we're going to allow the Word of God to speak the truth, as always. Also captured in the book of Psalms, in chapter 86, verses 11 and 12, as the word of God reads, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore." Unite my heart to fear your name. This speaks to having a singleness of heart with the Lord in order to fear your name, or in order to honor you and obey you because of who you are, just because of who you are. This is exactly what our prayers should include. Just like David understood, having a singleness of heart with the Lord will keep our hearts in the proper place to only be concerned about the things of God. And our fear of the Lord should be a fear that covers every aspect of a healthy fear that the Word of God speaks to. We should have a reverent fear of the Lord a fear of complete awe and just awestruck wonder when it comes to Jesus. We should have a practical fear of the Lord. For it is written, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And we should all have a personal fear of the Lord. That fear of sinning against our God, which can grieve and even quench the Holy Spirit that indwells all believers. Having a singleness of heart with the Lord will keep us having a heart for the things of God that will drive us in keeping his word. And I want to end in stark contrast from the way that we began. And I pray that you see why. Remember, we had this excited woman who cried out after hearing the word of truth, and her cry was, bless the womb and breast of the mother Jesus. Right? She heard this truth and was just excited. And this is what she would cry out. Now, let's fast forward to Jesus being led to his death on the cross. And we have this captured also in the book of Luke, in chapter 23, verses 27 through 29, as the word of God reads, and a great multitude of the people followed him, speaking about Jesus, following him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. And listen to verse 29. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. In those days, on the authority of God's word, are rapidly approaching. Why? Because not only do people not want to keep God's word, they don't even want to hear it. And without the word of God and the God of the word, there is no hope. And it would be better for those not to even be born. For indeed the days are coming, and God cannot lie. So we would all do well to hear the word of God and keep it. Because you better believe that God is going to keep his word. For those of you who do not know Jesus, his word has been spoken. There's no time to pretend that you have not heard his word. You need Jesus for the salvation of your soul. A promised word, by the way, that he will keep. And I encourage you to choose Jesus and be saved today by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And it is ABC simple to be saved. First, by acknowledging that you are a sinner, humility, and in need of a savior, who is Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, the word of God says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one of their own will be accepted in the kingdom of God. And as shown in chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That represents the A. And the B stands for believe, while the C stands for confess with your mouth, which both are captured in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. The word of God reads that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, this is a most simple way to be saved, and you will be able to rest easy on the truth of his word. God wants us to be reconciled to him because he loves us. His word specifically says in the book of 2 Peter in chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." These are very simple words to heed and keep. And I would pray that you would keep them in order to receive his eternal blessing. Capone, come up. Why don't you stand so we can pray? Loving Heavenly Father, you have spoken. And we pray here on one accord that we all may heed your word and keep it. May we have a new approach to how we live our lives out for you as we keep your word in every area of our lives, being good stewards and ambassadors until that glorious day when you take us away. So Lord, bless all who have a heart to hear, and the hardest of hearts crack open with humility, that all may be saved who are willing to hear, heed, and keep your word. In the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, we do pray. Amen.